Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
Good morning. Welcome. We continue now in book three of the five books of Moses. Leviticus, also known as Vayikra, chapter 1, verse 14. We talked extensively in yesterday's class about the symbolism of sacrifices. And in the first introduction to sacrifices, we talked about the burnt offering and that the burnt offering can be brought from cattle, sheep, goats, and so on. And now today he says there's another option. If one cannot afford cattle, sheep, goats, they're expensive. When was the last time you went to try and buy a cow? It's not cheap. So he says in verse 10, V'im o min ho'of ola korbono l'Hashem. What if his offering comes not from animal, but from fowl, from a bird, which is much cheaper? V'hikriv, he has the option. What kind of bird can he offer? Only a narrow list of birds. Min ha'terim, of what we call pigeons, or as he translates here in this book, turtle doves, pigeons. Ay min b'nei hayona, very young pigeons. Es karbonai, his offering. That's the two options. So you can choose between pigeons and pigeons. That's like the stewardess in El Al says, are you ready for dinner, sir? He says, what is the choice? She says, yes or no? Verse 14. Min ho'of, lo kol ho'of, not all birds, kifi shenemar, as it says, tomim zochar babokar ksovim uvoizim, just as it says, that a male without blemish has to be amongst the sheep or goats, tamus v'zachas v'behema. It requires unblemished and male in the animal category, ein tamus v'zachas v'efes. It does not have the same requirement in the bird department. Yochalach mechuser eber, I would think if it's missing a limb, tamar lemin mino eif, no, it has to be a complete, but not necessarily unblemished bird. And these are complex laws. I want to point out again that the Mishnah is divided into the six books of the Mishnah. One-sixth of the Mishnah, one book, Kochim, has to deals with sacrifices, offerings, holy things. There is so much law, we're not familiar with it because we don't have sacrifices today and will not have sacrifices until Mashiach comes and the third holy temple is rebuilt. So on a day-to-day basis, we're not engaged in this study. We study it when we study Leviticus. But there is so much to learn in the details of sacrifices. In the Chumash, we're just going to glance and just visit it briefly. Terim, pigeons, gdelim, large ones, v'le ketanim, not little ones. B'nei yeina, ketanim, v'le gdelim, those are little ones and not large ones. Min ha'terim, ay min b'nei ha'yeina, prat l'tchilas ha'tziyuv. These words exclude the beginning of the stage of tzihuv, shebozeh v'shebozehu posel, where both are inappropriate, meaning it's a transformation stage. It's too old to be a little pigeon, too young to be an older pigeon. Shegodel hu etzel b'nei yeina v'kotn etzel teirim, because it's considered too large for the pigeon and too small for the young pigeon. So it's caught right there in between, and that's the transformation period. That reminds me of a very profound statement which Jackie Mason made. There's only one way to really feel young, and that is hang around very old people. That's the theory of relativity. 15, v'hikrivei ha'kein el ha'mizbeach, so the Kohen offers it upon the altar, u'molach esreishei, and here we have an interesting ritual. It's called melika. Melika sounds like an ice cream. Melika. Melika means that instead of taking a knife and cutting the neck of the bird as a shochet would, the Kohen takes a different process. The Kohen pinches the nape of the neck with his overgrown fingernail in the back of the neck of the bird. Why? Because when a bird, when these birds fly, the pipes, the simonim, the signs that have to be cut during shechita protrude from the back of the neck. That's the process of melika. And then that process enables it to be smoked on the altar. So again, it's a burnt offering. V'nimtza domay, and the blood drains out, al kira mizbeach, on the wall of the altar. V'hikriva yafil l'preda achas yavi, even a single pigeon. Hakeyinu molach, ein melika b'chli, ela ba'atzme shalkeyin. Pinching is not performed with an instrument such as a knife, but by the Kohen's body. Keitzitz b'tziporna, he cuts with his fingernail, mimul ha'edif, against the nape of the neck. V'chesich mafrakte, and cuts its neck. Until he reaches the organs, the windpipe and the gullet, and he cuts them from the back. He presses the place of slaughtering against the wall of the altar, and the blood drains out. Can we say that? Since he makes it smoke, he wrings out the blood. The head separately and the body separately. Af malika kain. So also, he separates the head from the body. First he pinches, then he causes it to smoke. And obviously, before that, he causes the blood to drain down on the altar. Okay, verse 16. I think it was my wife that told me that many years ago, a friend of hers was traveling from New York to Canada to go to a camp, overnight camp. There's a famous overnight camp in Canada. And having studied in Canada, we go through the border. It's a very interesting process. You come to the Canadian border, and all kinds of experiences happen to you at the Canadian border. So they said to her, what is your name? And she said, my name is so-and-so. She says, What does your father do for a living? Now, she had a problem, because her father was a shochet. She knew if she said shochet, they wouldn't understand. So she said, my father is a slaughterer. The bus waited 45 minutes. Verse 16, the hesir es murosai, then they would take away the crop, the place where the excrement of the bird gathers. Binetzosa with the feathers. Behishlich esa and cast it etz almizbech kedma on the east side of the altar. El mekem hadoshen to the place of ashes. Rashi 16. Mur ose mekem arei zahazepik. This is the crop where the excrement gathers. Binetzosa im bnei me'er with the insides. Binetzolosh and dov ramos. Something disgusting. Kemeki notu gam no. That's the meaning of the word. Vizel shtirgam unklus. Be'uchle excrement. Vizel midrash shalaba yesim. Bechana shomar anetel. Es harkur kevonima. He takes the stomach with the crop. Rabbi Seinu Zal omru. Keder soviv hazevik besakin. He cuts around the crop with a knife. Kein aruba, similar to the wind of an eitlim, an eitzes sha'al ha'er, takes it with the plumage, which is in the skin, ba'ilas behema she'en echelos, elababes bala, in the case of an animal who only eats from its owner's food, nema ba'kera ba'kraim yechatz ba'mayim, he takes the inwards, washes it with water, v'hikdir, and he smokes it. But the problem with a bird is, a pigeon, it goes all over and eats everything, even stolen food. She'nozim minat gozol, it eats from what we would call stolen, namar v'hishlech esamayayin, he has to throw it away. She'ochel min ha'gozel, because it eats from stolen food, and we don't want anything stolen, we said earlier, offered on the altar. Eitzel ha'mizbeach kedma b'mizrachi shalkevish, on the east, shalkevish of the ramp. Verse 16, el mekeim hadoshen, mekeim sheneshnam shom trumas hadeshen, this is the place where they remove some ashes every morning from the altar, b'chol beker, and they put it out there. V'dishum esbeach ha'primeh v'amadeir, the ashes from the altar, the candlestick, v'kolim nevlaim sham v'kaimim, and they would be absorbed there in their place. 17, v'shisa esi b'chnofav, and he would cut it up by its wings, lo yavdol, but not totally separated. And the Kohen would smoke it on the altar. Alo eats him on the wood. We said there always has to be wood on the altar. Asher alayish, which was on the fire. Eilohu. This once again is a burnt offering. So this is the second type of burnt offering we're learning about. First is the animal with the list of animals that are acceptable. This is the bird or fowl burnt offering. Ishe, a fire offering. Reyach nicheyach, which causes a sweet savor. And we learned earlier in Rashi, what's the sweet savor? God says, I like that when I command, you do it. La Hashem to God. Rashi. V'shisa ein shisu al biyad, by hand. V'chenoim v'shimshin. V'shaseo k'shas agdi. V'chnofav im knofav, with its feathers. And it's tzorech limret. Kanfei netzosa, he doesn't have to pluck out the winged feathers. Bechnof of netzamamish feathers. Bahalei ein lechohed yitshemereach reyach knofayim nisrof and veinapshir kotzolu. He says, this is a sweet smell. He says, any person smelling burnt feathers is abhorred by it. It's a disgusting smell. V'lomomar v'hikter, k'desh yamizbeach savu muhuda b'kabonu shalotni. Because this fellow who brought the bird, why did he bring the bird? Because he couldn't afford the animal. Because he's a poor man. Let the altar be filled with the offering of a poor man. He should feel good that he's making a big deal and he's causing a lot of smoke and he's going to feel accomplished. Torah is very sensitive to the man who doesn't have. He doesn't completely tear it into two pieces, but tears it along its back. It says by a bird, a sweet savor. To tell you, just as someone brings a large animal, which takes a long time to be consumed on the altar, it gives pleasure to Hashem. So also when a poor man brings a tiny bird, it also brings pleasure to Hashem. And here comes a very important principle in Jewish life. Echod hamarbe, whether one gives a lot, ve'echod hamamit, or one gives a little, as long as he focuses his heart with good intentions to heaven, that's what Hashem sees as more important than anything else, a good heart, that the focus is there, and a person should give according to what he can afford to give. I will never forget when we built this building, the one we're sitting in right here. Goes back about 10 years when we were in the campaign stage. And we got many different levels of contributions. But one of the most beautiful contributions was a young kid who approached me and said, I want to take part in the building, and handed me $18 and said, this is my contribution to building the building. I'm not sure what the $18 accomplished in the scope of building a building, but in my heart, and certainly to Hashem, it was one of the most beautiful contributions, because this was more than this young child who came from a broken family could afford to give. And that's the point that he's making here. It's the intent that's more important than anything else. That's the end of chapter 1. Chapter 2, we segue into the third category of burnt offering. This is the guy who can't even afford a bird. You know, he used to say the economy went to the birds. This is worse than the birds. Chapter 2, verse 1, v'nefesh, and if there is a soul, which is an interesting way to describe a person, a soul, ki sakriv, who will offer, korban, an offering, what's he bringing? He can't afford an animal. He can't afford even a large pigeon. He can't even afford a small pigeon. Now, small pigeons don't cost that much. I think the 99-cent store was selling them. No, I'm just kidding. Korban mincha l'Hashem. This guy brings a meal offering, some flour and some oil. So, if he's going to bring an offering of flour, seilas yia korbonai, his offering should be fine flour. Grade AAA flour. As we say here, not from Ralph's, but from Gelson's. The yotzak ole al shemen, and he pours oil upon it. What kind of oil? From Saudi Arabia? No, just kidding. Olive oil. Venosan oleho levena, and places a spice called frankincense upon it. Rashi venepesh kisakriv le nemar nefesh bechol korbonis nedov elabamincha. Rashi says, interestingly enough, the word nefesh, soul, is not used for any offering except for this meal offering. Why? Because this is the poor of the poor. This guy is poorer than a synagogue mouse. Mi darke lisna de mincha, who customarily brings a meal offering. Oni, good morning, a very poor man. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a poverty-stricken man. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Maila ani olav kilu hikriv nafshei. I will consider it to him as if he offered his own soul, because I know how difficult it is for him to go buy some flour and some olive oil and a little frankincense in the spice aisle. Seiles yia karboni, his offering shall be a fine flour. Ha'emer haleya olai min chastam, we're about to learn various types of meal offerings. We're going to learn a total of 5 different types of meal offerings. A meal offering could be on the grill, could be on the griddle, could be baked, could be fried. So what if somebody says, I pledge to bring a meal offering, maybe mincha seilis, he brings the plain meal offering. This is the plain wrap. Because it's the first one enumerated. Now, the ritual is that the Kohen, as we will learn, takes a handful and smokes it on the altar. So, there are various conditions that this meal offering comes in. It comes griddle, it comes wafers, it comes cakes. Or it's just raw flour, depending upon which species of meal offering he brings. So, in this case, the handful is taken just of flour, Kameshim HaFedesh Bunyan, as he explains, rather than a baked thing. Because there are 5 different types of meal offerings mentioned here. The kulan boy safuyas kedim kmitza. In one form or another, they're all baked or grilled or griddled, with the exception of this, chudzu, the kachkriya min chaselis. That's why this one is the flour offering. It's an offering of raw flour. Seiles, ein seiles ela min achitim. Whenever the Torah says soles, it always refers to wheat. Shenemar seiles chitim. V'yein mincha p'chusa me'yisoren. No meal offering could be less than the tenth of an ephah. Shenemar v'yisoren seiles l'mincha. Yisoren l'chol mincha. Every mincha has to be a minimum of an yisoren. V'yotzek olah ha'shemen. And he pours olive oil. Al kula over the whole thing. V'nosan olah ha'levena. And puts some frankincense. Al miktsasa on part of it. Meniach kemetz levena. He places a handful of frankincense. Olah upon it l'tzad achad. On one side, how do you know? Because whenever it says 2 positives in the Torah, it suggests a limitation, a negative. You know, they say 2 positives equals a negative. Amplification plus amplification, that's new math. Amplification after amplification gives limitation. Davaracha shemen al kula, he places oil upon the whole thing. Vipneshu nivlolima. Because it is mixed with it. V'nikmatz ima, and the fistful is taken with it. Kama shenemar misolto mishamno, from its fine flour and oil, olaveina miktsas and frankincense upon part of it, shein v'lelosima, because it's not mixed with it. V'lenikmatzas ima, and the fistful is not taken with it. So the oil becomes part of it, but the frankincense is added to it. Shenemar alkola v'nostr shlach shkamas v'lakas alveina kula. After he's taken the fistful, he takes all the frankincense, may Allah for a minute, or maktira, and offers it all. This teaches us that pouring and mixing are permissible by a non-Kohen called a Zor, a stranger, an alien, a non-Kohen. What we referred to earlier here, and I'll just take a minute to explain it, is every word is meaningful in the Torah, every phrase, every law. So when the Torah gives us words which amplify, which are unnecessary, so those are superfluous. And then again, the lesson is that it's trying to teach us something. What is it trying to teach us? That this yes and this no. And that's where we say that amplification after amplification means limitation. So here we learn all of the oil is used, but not all the frankincense, all of the oil is mixed, but not all, the frankincense is not mixed. 2, v'heviyo el b'nei Aaron ha'kayanim, they then bring it to the sons of Aaron the Kohanim. Now comes the ritual. And the ritual is that the Kohen takes a fistful misolto umishamna of the flour and the oil, al kol avinasa, with all the frankincense. V'hikterakein, and the Kohen causes it to smoke. Es askoroso, this handful, which we call the memorial part, hamizbecha, upon the altar, ishe, a fire offering, a fire offering, reach nichach, which causes nachas, l'Hashem to Hashem. Rashi, hakohanim bekomatz mikvitzu ve'elach mitzvas kohuna. Only from the fistful and on does the Kohen actually have to do it. Bekomatz misham b'makom shirag lazareim this, from the place where the non-Kohen stands, la'metcha, to teach you. Shak mitzak shere b'chol makom bazara, that the handful, fistful, can be taken any place in the altar. Even the 11 cubits where the non-Kohen may step. Malay kumtza yachom avedetz, I would think that the flour has to come forth, mevatzriyetz l'chotzad, has to come through all sides of the fingers, tamalei makam achar, v'eirem menu kumtzalei yekosher, elamashu b'techa kaim, it's only that which is in the fistful. Ibe kumtzayach l'chotzad, I would think is missing, tamalei memalei, haketzad, chefesh sholish etz bo'esav, al pas yodi, he covers three of his fingers over the palm of his hands, like this. V'zehu kaimitz, and this is a handful, b'mishma loshen rivrit, in Hebrew. Al kol avinasa levad kol avin, in addition to all of the frankincense. Yeah, kaim et smaller, the handful shall be full of flour. Levinasa vihikter af hal avin bak Torah, even the frankincense. Malay kumtsa misolta mishamna haim komatz. Vol of yodi gargi melech, but if he took a handful and there came up in his hand a grain of salt, a kedet levina, psula, it's not kosher. This has to be exactly the way it is written, and that is that the handful must be flour and oil. Askorasa hakemetz hoil legavaya, that which is offered to Hashem, who's zichrein amincha, that's the memorial, the meal offering. Shabay nikter ba'aleh l'teva ulenach nisker ba'aleh l'teva l'nachas ruach, where the owner is mentioned for pleasure to Hashem and nachas to Hashem. Now, unlike the other burnt offerings which we learned about, the animal or the bird, here the balance, that which is not offered on the altar, is consumed by the Kohanim. Now, I want to bring out a very important point, that when the Kohanim are permitted to consume something, there are two general levels of Kohanim's benefits. One is called Kodesh, and the other is called Kodesh Kadoshim. Or Kodesh Kadoshim and Kodshim Kalim. There is the very holy and the somewhat holy. What's the difference between the very holy and the somewhat holy? The very holy, only the male Kohanim could eat it in the courtyard, in the Beis HaMikdash. They cannot take it home and feed their families dinner. Can't bring leftovers in a styrofoam container. That's because this is Kodesh Kodoshim. This is Holy of Holies. It's part of the stuff that could only be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, in the courtyard of the tabernacle. Then there is Kodshim Kalim, the less holy. It's a benefit which the Kohen gets. He gets to take it home. His family could eat it anywhere in Jerusalem. So this, v'haneseres min amincha, that amount of flour and oil left over, the balance of this meal offering, goes to La'aron u'Levon, to Aaron and his sons. Can they take it home? Absolutely not. Kodesh Kodoshim, this is the Holy of Holies, Me'ishe Hashem, of the fire offerings of Hashem. And as we go on, we'll see these two categories come up again and again and again. Verse 3, La'aron u'Levon of Kayin Godol Neitechelik Bereish. The rule is that the high priest, he gets first dibs. Shalei machlekes, he doesn't have to divvy up with anybody. He can take what he wants to. V'hadyit machlekes, and then the ordinary Kohen goes and divides it up. And as time went on, the Kohanim's families became larger and larger. So they went and divided it later in the times of Shmuel Anovi and David HaMelech into various shifts. And they created the 24 Kohanic families, And every family served for 2 weeks, 48 weeks, then there were the holidays. So there was a system. Whereas here, all we had was Aaron and his sons. So there wasn't too much competition. Kedesh kodoshim hilohem to them. Ein lam chelek ba l'achar matnas ishim. They can't have part of it. Only after the fire offerings are offered. So that's meal offering type one. Flour, oil, mingle together. Frankincense separate. Now comes type two. Verse 4, v'chisakriv, and if you will offer korban mincha, a meal offering, but this one is ma'afe sanur, baked in a hearth, baked in an oven-baked meal offering. What's an oven-baked meal offering? Seilas, it has to be made of the same fine flour, chales, matzes, belules, bashemen. It must be unleavened in general. Anything leaven was more often than not permitted to be offered on the altar. As we say later, that leavening represents rising, which suggests arrogance. Most offerings were unleavened. Most of the stuff that went on the altar was kosher for Pesach. Because leavening represents gava, arrogance. So he says, chales matzes, unleavened cakes, belula bashemen mingled with oil, or the kike matzes and unleavened wafers, mishuchim bashomen spread with oil. It's the same flour, the same oil, the treatment is different. Rashi v'chisakriv, she'omar harei olai mincha ma'afes anur. The fellow said, I take upon myself a vow, I'm bringing a meal offering that is oven baked. V'limid akos of the Torah tells us that he has two choices in oven baked. There's oven-baked one and oven-baked two. Sheyovi could bring eichales, either cakes, eidekikin or wafers. Hachales belules for eidekikin mishuchim. What's the difference? The cakes are mixed with oil and the wafers are spread with oil. V'nechleku rabbeseinu b'mshichos, and our rabbis disagree as to exactly how this spreading of oil was applied. Yesh Abim Meishkan Bechazer Meishkan. One says he spreads and spreads and spreads. Achakola kol Hashem Shabaloig until the entire lug of oil is consumed. Shakola Menachas Tunis Lug Shemen, because all the offerings require this measure of oil. Yesh Abim. Others say Meishkan Kimin Ki. He just applies the spreading of the oil like a ki, which is the Greek X, which we learned earlier is a nun. The shape of a Hebrew letter nun is how he spreads it. Oshar Hashemen, and the balance of the oil, nechol is eaten b'fnei atzmei separately lakohanim. Those are the two opinions. Ma tamad lemer b'shemen b'shemen shnei pom. Why does it say twice oil? L'achshe shnei shemen sheni u'shlishi hayetzim and azesim. Ve'in tzarech shemen rishon el lemeneda shenemar bezoch. Here there's an important teaching. We learned earlier by the menorah that we need grade AAA olive oil, virgin olive oil. The first squirt as you hit the olive. Here, for the meal offerings, second grade, third grade of crushed olive oil and processed olive oil and ground olives, they're all acceptable. Mishaninu b'menachas, and we learned in the tractate of Menachas, kol ha-menachas afweyas, lefnei k'mitzas ha-menikmatz na'idei psisa, that all meal offerings which are baked before the handful is taken, and the handful is taken, kulan bois eser eser chalas, they all come, offer 10 cakes each. V'hama bar kikin, and when it says it, a kikin, boss, or a kikin, it comes 10 wafers. So that's the difference between the cakes and the wafers. So that's, within the second type, we have two types, cakes and wafers. Both unleavened. Five, type three, or actually this was one, and then two and three. Now we go to four. The im mincha al amach was korbonecha. What if there's a meal offering that comes on a griddle? It's like a grill. It's almost like a pancake. Seilas b'lo b'ashem and matzotiyah. This is what they had in the south, in New Orleans, in Alabama. A meal offering on the griddle, seilas, a fine flour, b'lo b'ashem and mingled with oil. Matzotiyah, again, unleavened. Five, mincha al-machvas, Sha'omar, the guy said, Harei alai minchas machlas, I take upon myself to bring a meal offering baked on the griddle. Ochli hu shahoya b'migdash. What's a griddle? It was a vessel that was in the Holy Temple, shayfim b'minchazu, in which they baked this gift, al ho'or, on fire, b'shemen. Ba'kli eino omak, the griddle, it's like a grill. It's not deep. It's like you go into a restaurant and they make you an omelet. They just throw it on this dirty griddle. No, not dirty, the clean griddle. El atzof, it's flat. Ma'aseh mincha shebesechet koshen, and the ingredients of the meal offering are hard. They're thick. Shemitesh itzof, being that it's flat. Ha'er seder sashemen, the whatever oil is there, the flame immediately consumes it. It's not deep fried, as we will learn in the next mincha. The next mincha is deep fried. Good for the cholesterol. V'chulon tu'un, actually olive oil is good oil, it's healthy oil. V'chulon, I'm not sure if deep fried is healthy, but you can speak to your nutritionist. V'chulon tu'un is sholish matne shemen, they all require three gifts of oil, yitziko, belila, pouring, mingling, o matne shem, v'chli, kedem, asiyosin, putting the oil into the vessel before the meal offering. We have a cardiologist with us this morning. Deep fried olive oil, how's that for cholesterol? It'd be fine. Cardiologist says it's fine. I'll give you his insurance number. Say less belula. Oh, you're self-insured, huh? Say less belula vashemen melamed shabelim ba'edin selas. This teach. Oh, we also have a GP present. He mixes it while they're still in a state of fine flour. Closing verse of today's portion 6. Poses esa pitim, break it into pieces. V'yatzakto la'ashem, and you pour oil. Minchahi, it's a meal offering. And Rashi, after Rashi, I just want to point out that in tomorrow's portion, we go to the next type, one more type of these offerings. 6 Rashi. Poses esa pitim, l'rabis kol menachas anapostit, kedim k'mitzel l'psicha. All of the meal offerings which are baked before the handful is taken is broken into pieces. All meal offerings have the pouring. I would think even oven baked. I might exclude the cakes, but not the wafers. That's the end of today's Chumash portion.